So it's June the 30th, the end of the financial year, so we're going to take a stock take. Remember a year or two ago, one of these, I think it was it Foxtel, had this special EFS, happy EFS everybody, end of the financial year, and we'll try to forget about that one as much as we can, but it's a phrase, it's an opportunity for us today to maybe take some stock of some of the blessings God's given us. You know, when I was... Maybe I should have left that one just upright and to the side. How's that? Maybe that'll be a bit less dangerous. When I used to work in retail, and if any of you have worked in business of that sort of nature where you've got to every now and again take stock of the assets of the company business, counting. And for me, when I worked in irrigation in retail, you'd be counting all the sprinklers and all the little micro sprays and every little valve and everything there. I hated it. I hated it that time of year of taking stock take with a passion because, well, not only was it boring and grubby, but it just took away the, it was non-productive. It's like, well, we are here, are we not, to sell stuff, hopefully make a profit for the boss so that the bills can be paid and everybody, you know, that our purpose is to run a business, not to count fittings. But, you know, it is important, and for business owners, if any of you have been in business, to check every now and again to know what the assets of the company are. The army needs to regularly know what its assets and liabilities, what its troop strengths and weapons are, so they can be prepared for enemies and threats. So it's important for us as disciples of Jesus to stop from time to time and know what are the blessings and assets that God has given us for which we can have, by which we can fulfil his purpose that he calls us to take place in this world. And as I thought about, well, how can I remind you of this truth, I was thought of a story of a guy back in my old days. One of my customers came in, he's got this big water tank. And he goes, oh, I'm out of water. My level indicator's way down. Do you know any guys, any water carters? Because where I worked was in this like a semi-rural part of southwestern Sydney. Plenty of guys who relied on a tank water for their supply of water for the house, have a pump down the bottom and they need rain for the rainwater. And this guy's, do you know any water carters? Because guys made their living sometimes of transporting water in big tanks, in tanker trucks, to fill up water tanks for guys on site so they can have their water. So did that. Anyway, a few days later, he comes back in looking very, very sheepish. Turns out that the tank wasn't empty at all. It was actually really quite full, but the level gauge on the bottom was clogged and jammed because they got a little, many tanks have a little tube up the side, a clear, transparent tube. And as you might know, water finds its own level. If you've got two containers of water and they're linked somewhere at the bottom, the level in both will be the same. They'll rise and fall together. So this little tube was partly blocked. So he didn't know that he had a full tank of water. Can you imagine? Number one is his embarrassment. But secondly, what a relief it was for him to realise, I thought I was in trouble. I thought I didn't have enough provision for my family, for my farm. But it's okay. I'm actually far better off than I thought I was. I'm hoping that as by the time we finish this morning, you might have that sense of relief to know, you know, God has a great calling for me, for this church. And every now and again, as I do from time to time, think, what difference can I make? How can God use me? I am one person. We are one church. I hope that by the end of what we this morning has done, you can go out of here going, well, you know, the tank's actually fuller than I thought. We have greater blessing, greater hope, greater possibilities and power than I thought we realised. There's an old saying every now and again when we talk about, and it's very true on an individual level, that God invites each person, calls each person to a task, to a place in his kingdom, in his body, and the phrase that we go, oh, God does not call the equipped, but he equips the called. You heard that phrase before? It says that God says, I want you to do this task, and I will make you able to fulfill it. But what is most important is that I've chosen you for that. That I've called you, and I will therefore equip you. On a very certain level, that is. But the reading we had from Ephesians, I think, reminds us that we are already equipped before he has even called us. As a church, as a people, as it says there in Ephesians, we are already equipped before that calling ever came to take place. A couple of weeks ago, I heard a message, and it was actually Mike's brother-in-law, Paul. Some of you might know Paul Sanders. And he mentioned this passage, this reading in Ephesians. And one comment he made about this is this whole, from verse 3 to verse 14, in the Greek written form before the translators put it into English in something like the NIV, that sentence from verse 3 right through to 14 is all one long sentence. Now, I'm sure that Marion, who had to read that earlier, is very, very grateful that the translators broke it up into a few different sentences so she gets a chance to take a breath in between various phrases. You can almost imagine Paul the Apostle, as he writes this letter to the Ephesians, he's going, I want to remind these guys of how greatly blessed that they already are. And you almost get this feeling of, I'm so excited, I can't even bother stopping to punctuate the sentence or even to take a breath. There's so many great blessings that are listed there in this reading. I'll go through it again with you just to remind you, and I'll point out a few of these, because I want you to realise by the end of our time this morning that you, me, all of us, have had some great blessings given to us, and hopefully you'll realise that there is a great purpose for these blessings, so that as we take stock of the spiritual blessings we have, we can have some strength and confidence to go on to respond to that call that God has put on us. So it goes like this. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is where he gets excited. This is the whole listing of stuff of what you've got, and some of it is why you've got this stuff as well. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He knew what he was doing when he chose to do this for us. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things on heaven and earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. One huge long sentence that Paul originally wrote to say, guys, you've been pretty greatly blessed here by the God who's already decided before everything was made that he had a special place for you. I'm going to talk in a few minutes also what that special place, that calling might be. He's already poured all this stuff into you. How can you possibly think, well, I can't do anything? There are moments in our life where we feel mentally down, where we feel physically drained, emotionally empty in the tank. And those moments are very real. There are times where we just feel physically and these moments of tiredness, they can affect our confidence in our own effectiveness in God. They can affect our feeling of saying, well, am I worthwhile? Is God ever really going to be able to use me? Well, sure. But the reality of the truth, the objective fact is, those are the blessings God already has made available to us on a spiritual level. So on one level, when we pray for each other, when we come to God and say, God, I need you for, you know, we call out to God for help and ask for blessings. In some sense, on one level I get that, but on another level, we've already been blessed. It's almost embarrassing to say, God, bless such and such. It's almost, you can almost imagine God, and I know he wouldn't, saying, well, I've already blessed you with that and that and that, but all right, here's some extra, here's some cream on the top, here's some sprinkles, here's some Smarties, just to make it even better. He's still willing to continue to pour on top the blessings that he already has. But God's already done this, so when we pray, when we seek God's blessing upon us and other people, just try to remember to do it in the context of the fact this God has already done so much. He has already done these things. And I want to run through what some of the blessings are. But his purpose for us, okay, and one of the purposes is this. By grace you've been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works so that no one can boast, for we're God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. God has already filled our tank full to the brim with all these poured out spiritual blessings that Paul has written out there in the first part of Ephesians. Okay, so Ephesians 1 is pouring in there. So, what are some of the things, what are some of these blessings that God has granted us? He has adopted us to be his sons and daughters for all eternity. You know, they reckon, and I don't know if this is true, and there are people who are adopted or who have adopted, or maybe, but they say that an adopted child is in some sense even more special because you chose that child. We give birth, we have children come out of the natural process, but an adopted child, we've chosen. So you have been chosen by God because he chose you for his good purpose. Very, very special. So he decided he wants you and you and you. That doesn't mean there are people in this world that are unchosen. Dwight Moody used to say, God, please save those that you've chosen and then choose some more. We've all been chosen by God. God has already said, I would like every single person. He's reached out, chosen with the desire to adopt as children every single person that has ever been created. That chosenness is part of God's nature, that he chooses and he wants to adopt us. He has forgiven us. In communion every week when we celebrate that, we are reminded of the price that has been paid and the forgiveness, the levelling off that God has said, your sins I count towards you no more. You will never ever be subjected to the eternal punishment that sin requires, which is a separation from God. You've been forgiven. You have now confidence in your eternal destiny and that you are made right with God. We have the knowledge of God's will. He says there in verse 9 that we have the knowledge, the mystery has been made known to us of the will of God. We get to see the Bible. We get to have God's Spirit living in us so that he can reveal to us his will, which is to live a holy, blameless and pure life, and his will, which is to use us to represent him in this world. We get to know that. For centuries, people stumbled around not knowing that. We know. We can have an understanding of God's will and be confident in that. We have an inheritance, eternal life, riches stored up in heaven. An inheritance which for most children you have to wait until the parent or that who has bequeathed it to you has died. We get to engage in that inheritance right now, a rich, fulfilled, meaningful life. We have an inheritance of eternal life as well. The inheritance is a blessing poured out for one who has a rich relative. We have a very, very rich relative who's granted us an inheritance that will last forever, that will go beyond this life, that is more valuable than anything we could ever possess. And so knowing that we have this richness there stored up for us, we can face the rest of this world with confidence. We have the presence of the Holy Spirit. It says here we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. Elsewhere in the Bible it says that our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, that he lives within every single person to strengthen, to empower, to guide. The Holy Spirit, which is God in very person, we have him acting actively in our life for our betterment, our blessing and for God's glory, that we might also bless others. Pretty good inheritance there. Pretty good pouring into the tank. There's some good stuff going into our tanks. So the outpouring is Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. We're God's workmanship created in advance to do good works, not that we may boast, but that he would have glory. So what are those sorts of things from what we've read that God intends for us to do with these blessings we have? It is so that we can exhibit God's glory. We, as God's gathered people here in our life, in the rest of the world around us, in our day-to-day life, people should look at us and say, you know, that guy, that girl, God has been with them. So the people will know God has made a difference and have attention drawn to him. Jesus talked about in the Sermon on the Mount that people should see our good works and praise the Father in heaven. That's why it should happen. So the people should look at us not simply as good, nice people, but those who serve God, represent him well, the outpouring of God's Spirit. We get to declare his message. We should have the opportunity through act and deed to tell people the truth of God's love for them. Right? The outworking should be we are knowing we've got a truth which is worthwhile sharing, which is exciting. We get those moments to share that with others with whom we come in contact. We get to be part of the reconciliation of all things. Now, the Bible talks the whole of creation is broken and damaged and groans in anticipation of his return. We get to be part of that. We get to see the outworking where God makes all things right, all things new, and the redemption, the buying back of all of creation. That's part of our purpose. God didn't call us and save us and forgive us, not simply to make us feel good, to give us a purpose in life, not because he felt sorry for us, but because he had a big, important purpose for us. So in order to make us able to fulfill that, he needed to give us lots and lots of blessings. So that actually then touches on the question, all right, well, we've got these great resources, these great blessings. What do we do with them? What do we do with the resources? These are many of the unseen blessings and resources we have. We can't really quantify adoption and forgiveness. But it says that God has blessed us with every good thing, spiritually and materially. It's the end of the financial year. Among other things, in our church life, we're preparing the budget. We've been working on that. We're going to get that presented shortly for you to have a look over and see what the elders and the board have talked about. And the issue is coming up all the time of stewardship and how we use those resources, those blessings God has given us. As a church, certainly on the level of preparing a budget, how we spend our money, how we look to gather the resources to do the things we believe that God has called us as a church to do. Stewardship. And I've recently been struck by this more and more importantly, that our stewardship, how we use our resources, is not about minimisation of spending so that we get what we can possibly with a little with what we have, what the visible resources have, go on the cheap as much as we can so that can make our money stretch. It's not about spending minimisation, but about spending wisdom, about wise and good and appropriate choices of our resources. So the part of the process in the church life has been saying, well, here's what we think, what we have and what we think we can do with what we have. Here's what we think God is calling us into. And there might be a shortfall between those things, and I'll get back to how we handle that in a moment. But the question certainly comes up as to what we do, how we deal with the resources, the blessings we already have. Such things as people. People are a blessing. You are a blessing to me, to each other, to the rest of the world. Last week when Mike talked about healing, and he read from 1 Corinthians 12, the main point he raised out of that is each person is here to be a blessing to other people. We're here as a body, we're here as a resource to bless other people. Question, how do we best serve God? How do we best express his love to each other based on the way that God has made us? What do we do with our building here? We've got a great building. It's been here nearly 25 years. We're doing some changes, hopefully. You've heard some talk. There's some changes we're going to make to expand it, to improve it. We have a great base here from which we can run disciple-making activities. It's not only ours to enjoy, not just for us, but to be used for its full extent to expand the kingdom. And so we're asking the questions of how else can we make this building better, more effective, for the main purpose, which is of making disciples. What other things can we do in this building? What other things can we do with it? Similarly, what can you do in and with your own home? Your home is a blessing. You have security, a roof over your head. You might be thinking, you might have already been thinking up until today, you know, I'd like to do something more in my home, have hospitality, have people come over, whatever it might be. Maybe that is a way that God is asking you to use a resource you already have to be more effective in serving him and making disciples. Money is the obvious one, and I touched on a moment ago about the budgeting process. We're getting through that. Question is always, as I say, not about how can we get the most mileage out of each dollar, but more about how can we most effectively and wisely use what we have, use what God already has that we can't yet see, so that he will be seen. We look at questions like our programs, what we do here. We every now and again need to revise and look, sometimes ruthlessly, at the activities and programs the church does to say, is this a good use of our time? Is this a good use of the people that we have? And are they actually drawing people closer to God, improving their walk and their discipleship? Look at the activities that we do during the week. Even things like sports and hobbies. Just this year, I've joined a new hockey club. I've been at the last one. I was there for 4 years or so. And for various different reasons, I've joined a different club. And I'm seeing that. I'm trying to develop a presence and a relationship so that even in my leisure time, which is for refilling my emotional and physical tank, still got plenty of spiritual resources, how can I use those to be a blessing to others? How can I see opportunities through my leisure, through my fun and my sports, to maybe influence others? So those are the sort of questions we look at when we know we already have a very, very full spiritual tank of blessing. We have plenty of other material tanks that are full, blessings that we can share out and around. How can we then fulfill that question of Ephesians 2:8-10? How can we make those useful for his glory and his message to be part of that reconciliation of all things, to be part of this process where God has made and will make all things new? As I say, there are moments in life where we feel a bit down, a little bit low, whether that be emotional, physical tiredness. But the question is, how do we use the resources we already have? Now, having said that about what we have, this does not preclude us, as we look at the blessings that I talked about, the material blessings we have, that does not preclude us from imagining what God might do with his blessings, physical, material, financial, people, that we don't yet see. It says in the Psalms that God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Whatever it is that God calls us to do, remember that phrase I used earlier, he equips the called. I'm convinced that God is calling this church to do some great things. And there are things that we would love to do that God is already creating a vision for, but we don't yet see the resources for them out there. I want to encourage you to be confident that those spiritual resources, and even the physical ones, God already has in the appropriate place. Now, I'm not talking about the theology of name it and claim it, where we say, God wants this to happen and he will therefore do it because I said it. No, I'm not suggesting any such thing to say that the blab it and grab it mentality that is, I claim that God will provide this and therefore he will. That's along the same lines as this whole healing where people have misused that opportunity for healing to say, God says this and therefore it must be true. That's very self-centered. That's about consumerism. That is said without a clear vision of how God wants to really provide for us. But God has all the resources, has everything out there available for us. And as we are growing in our confidence to know that God is going to bring about certain special things to be done through our church, we can speak and plan with the confidence to know that as God calls, he will provide. There are things, there are people, there are opportunities, there are money, there are various things out there that we don't actually yet see. So any time we see a shortfall in budgeting of what we have, we say, we think God wants us to do this and it's going to require this much and we've got this much. That shortfall is simply what we can't see. That shortfall is the gap in the tank level gauge where we think we're down here, but the reality is it's up there. And the right time and the right opportunity, when we are ready to use what God provides for us and in his good timing, then we will come to see that it's all out there. So the challenge is, I guess, on an individual level and on a church level to say, this is what I reckon we've got. We have resources of adopted as sons. We are forgiven. We are confident and free that we can understand God's will. And as we seek his will, as we enjoy the inheritance and spend it well, we can see opportunities to show his glory. I mean, if you're a farmer, if a farmer had a huge dam or a huge tank, he's going, man, I don't know what to do with all the overflow of water in my tank. What can I do? You think he might choose to plant a few more crops? Do you think he might water a little bit better and nurture that which he has already to be sure that it grows well and fruitfully? Well, we are the farmer hands on a farm where he does have a huge tank. With the labourers in the vineyard, as it said in that song, Days of Elijah, and the harvest is coming, and he's preparing that. If you are the farmer, and you think, what can I do? Just let your imagination run a little bit. One thing I've discovered, and I know Jess went through this process, I hope you don't mind me saying, and she was struggling through the budgeting thing, and going, she wasn't liking it very much either. But a moment where, you know, it's not about, how can we do this with what we have, it's, what can we dream for? What can we hear God calling us into? What are the possibilities that God is burdening our hearts with? And so if a farmer, imagine a farmer having this resource that he suddenly realises he's got, he might decide to be a little bit adventurous. He might decide to look at something new. You know, we're not the farmer, we're just the farm hands. We don't know all the plans that he does have for us, that our Father has for us. But we can speak and act with confidence to know that he will make the way that he calls us to. That we have already on a personal level enough spiritual power and resources to do what he wants. The other stuff, that'll come in good time as well. That will come in his time, and where we see and start to hear what he calls us into completing that task. The tank will overflow, it'll richly pour out, and we will be part of seeing a great, great growth and harvest. He said he will do it, and I'm sure he will. So finish with that thought. When the tank's full, what can we really do with it? What is God calling us to do with these huge, powerful, awesome spiritual resources that prove that we are spiritually powerful? We are called especially for something great, and he will not let us down.